Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Hope you had an absolutely positively wonderful weekend. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. We are coming at you live from Miami, Florida. Live from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida, site of the national championship game tonight between the Indiana Hoosiers and the Miami Hurricanes. National championship is on the line. We've all waited over the last week plus for this game. My personal opinion is I'm praying it's not a blowout. Let me get this out. Let me get the suspense out of the way right now. I want Miami to win this game so badly because I think it would be great for college football if they were able to pull it off, because we wouldn't be talking about the SEC or, in this case, the Big Ten, because Michigan and Ohio State won the last two national championships respectively. And if Indiana were to win it tonight, it would be the Big Ten being the elite conference in college football. And we'd be talking about Indiana and we'd be talking about the Big Ten until the cows came home. I want Miami to win because I think that it will evolve the discussion about college football. It will have us talking about college football collectively as a more extensive arm rather than just the Big Ten itself. And obviously, it will bring us back to the days when Miami was dominant, when they won a national championship in 2001, when they won five national championships between the mid-'80s, and, of course, 2001, with coaches like Dennis Erickson and Jimmy Johnson and Schnellenberger, and all of this other, all of these guys, and Coker, of course. We'd be talking about a more extensive part about college football as opposed to one or two conferences. That's just my personal opinion. But I got to admit to you, I'm not picking Miami as much as I want them to win. I find myself praying for a competitive matchup. Because let me tell you something right now. If you are the Miami Hurricanes, you should be very concerned that you're not going to get your ass kicked. You should be very concerned that it could be a blowout, because what I saw Indiana do to Alabama, what I saw Indiana do to Oregon, I mean, Alabama just waved the white flag. They just gave up because they got beat down that badly. You are Oregon, Dan Lanning, and what we raved about with their program, to come out and just get destroyed. You know, you're down by 21 points before somebody had a chance to pass gas. It was that bad. When you look at that, and then you look at Miami, Thriller versus Ole Miss, okay? Shut down Texas A&M. We get all of that, but still in all, we saw 10 penalties for 74 yards. We saw a team that's capable of beating itself. We know they've got an experienced quarterback that has been in moments like this, playing at Georgia before he transferred to Miami. We know what Carson Beck can do when he's high. We also know that you can force him to make mistakes from time to time. Miami can't afford any tonight. And your defensive line, led by Baines and Massador, that had 7.5 sacks and 9 tackles for a loss in the first two playoff games, okay, can't go like they did last game against Ole Miss when they didn't register a sack nor a tackle. That cannot happen against Indiana. It cannot happen. So if you want a game tonight, if you want a thriller tonight, if you want something other than a lopsided affair, I think that Miami has to bring its A game. They bring their A game, they can beat Indiana. The problem is, are you sure you're going to be able to bring your A game? Because Indiana is the team that you're going up against, who's exceptionally well coached by a coach, Kurt Cignetti, okay, who is 26-2 in his 2 years at Indiana, a team that has never, or university that has never won a national championship ever, ever. That's what we're looking at. They're about to win their first national championship tonight on Miami's home turf, unless Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Ezrin James and the crew from Miami U that's represented this university for decades get inside these cats' heads and let them know, you don't let anybody come into your house. You don't let anybody come into your house and push you around. Remember that motivational speech you see at NBA games, NFL games, and all this other stuff? Nobody. Nobody. From the movie, I forgot which movie. I don't know if it's Friday Night Lights or whatever it is. One of my producers, Griff, he would know. Whichever movie this was. Was it Friday Night Lights or something like that? I don't remember. He said, nobody comes into our house and pushes us around. That's what you got to, that's the message that has to be sent tonight. We're at Hard Rock Stadium. This is where Miami plays its home games. This ain't just the home of the Dolphins, the irrelevant portion of football around these parts. This is about the U, Miami Hurricanes, okay? I know people who are professionals, grown men in their 50s and 60s, crying like babies just because Miami made it to the national championship game. That's how ecstatic they are. You got to find a way to make some noise and to do what you got to do. They got in order for this national championship game tonight on ESPN, Movie Rudy, by the way, it's Rudy. Nobody comes into our house and pushes us around. That's what tonight's message got to be. You can't lose a national championship game on your home turf in your house. That's the message that has to be delivered. And I have no doubt if there were two people that were capable of delivering that message to a bunch of cardiac kids that have made it this far, it's definitely the playmaker, Michael Irvin, and the one and only Ray Lewis, two Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball, a wide receiver on offense, a linebacker on defense, both having starred at the U. There is no question that those brothers, with their motivational speeches, can definitely deliver that message. And Miami's going to need it all in order to beat Indiana tonight, going up against Fernando Mendoza, okay, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, no doubt about it. Lots of stuff to get into. Once again, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. But that news will be the news tonight and tomorrow morning. The news from yesterday and right now are the playoffs that took place this weekend. And one of the things that we have to point to more than anything else is the Los Angeles Rams beating the Chicago Bears. That was a thriller. 20-17 victors over the Chicago Bears. I mean, there's a lot of big stories emanating out of this weekend. We can go to that, but the reason why we would probably, in all honesty, need to go to the Buffalo Bills first is because the Buffalo Bills fired their head coach, Sean McDermott, after the Buffalo Bills lost 33-30 in overtime to the Denver Broncos this weekend. I think that is a bad decision. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there, they don't feel the highest of highs with Sean McDermott. I get that part. I think it sucks. I think that being the general manager, I think he's using McDermott as a scapegoat. Brandon Bean had no business making this decision. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bills had no business promoting him to president. How are you going to promote him to president? Look at the team he gave McDermott. Now listen, McDermott hasn't got the team to the Super Bowl. But when you talk about a team needing a voice, come to me about Baltimore. You have Lamar Jackson for 7.5 years, and you can't get over the hump. And not only that, the quality of play was diminishing before our very eyes as we watched the Baltimore Ravens. We can't say that about the Buffalo Bills. If anything, they overachieved this year, considering how bereft of talent they were. This is how we got to look at it. Who are your wide receivers? Where's the all-world wide receiver? Stephon Diggs ain't there anymore. He's in New England. Who you got? It ain't Keon Coleman. It ain't Knox. It ain't Kincaid. Khalil Shakur, that brother's no joke. I got that part. And James Cook, we all know how effective he is running the football. But my goodness, when you look at McDermott and what McDermott brings to the table, I'm just looking at this. 98-50 record in his 8 years. 73-27. That's a 73-win percentage over the last 6 years in the regular season. The best in the National Football League. Yes, you got the two AFC championship games that you lost. You lost them to Patrick Mahomes. That's who you lost to. You want to go an 8-8 playoff record? 1-6 on the road. All right, I got that part. Not great. 8 playoff appearances in 9 years, including 7 straight. You've made the playoffs every year since 2019. 7 straight double-digit win seasons. 5 AFC East titles. And Josh Allen was in position to win. You missed Knox wide open over the middle. You fumbled before the first. You got a turnover before the first half. I love Josh Allen. He's a superstar. I think right now the best in the game at the quarterback position. But it wasn't his shining moment over the weekend. What am I missing? I don't get this. Saturday afternoon in Denver against the number one seed. A team that registered 68 sacks on the season, four shy of the all-time record, goes up against you on their home turf and was lucky, escaped with their damn lives winning this game. And Sean McDermott pays the price. Now, if you're the Buffalo Bills ownership and you said both of them need to go, I get it. I'm not saying, I want to be very, very clear in case Brandon Bean is listening. I'm not saying that he should have been fired. I'm saying McDermott stays with him or both of them go based on the job performance. Because as far as I'm concerned this year, McDermott did a better job than him. How come you didn't go out and get Jaylen Waddle before the trading deadline? According to the reports, the Bills were willing to offer the Dolphins a 2027 first-round pick for the services of Jaylen Waddle, the speedster out of Miami, the place of the Miami Dolphins. What happened? That dude, you couldn't get him because Bean didn't want to give up a first-round pick in 2026. Well, what's the difference? How come you didn't want to give up a 2026 first-round pick, but you were willing to give up a 2027 first-round pick? Why would you leave Josh Allen out there hanging like that? He's one of the best players in the world. Now, be clear, Josh Allen ain't looking at it from that standpoint. He's pointing the finger at himself. He's looking at himself and saying he could have done better. Actually, he's saying he let the team down. You don't believe me? Listen to Josh Allen yourself talking about his performance this past Saturday.
Extremely difficult. I feel like I let my teammates down tonight. It's been a long season. I hate how it ended. And it's going to stick with me for a long time.
Fair enough. I mean, he made some mistakes, uncharacteristic, no doubt about it. And you know folks are going to hold him accountable. But when you know what you don't have and you combine that with knowing what you can do, you're going to take chances. You're going to take chances, and sometimes that's going to mess with you. And so I get that part. He's still a stud, and you want to see your quarterback care like that. But in the end, I'm saying McDermott should not have paid the price. He's a damn good coach. His record shows it. And if you're Bean, how do you get promoted with the roster that you gave this man? You've had better rosters than this in the past. And I'm in no way saying that Bean isn't a good GM. And he's not doing a good job. I'm saying that if McDermott is gone, why isn't he? I'm implying that McDermott shouldn't be gone, not that Bean should be gone. You come back next year. Give him a better slew of receivers to depend on. We look at Josh Allen and say, okay, my goodness, they couldn't get over the hump. What was it, his fault that Kincaid dropped the ball last year against Kansas City when Josh was blitzed on that fourth down and it went right into Kincaid's hands and he didn't catch the ball? Was it Josh Allen's fault when he gave you a lead in the AFC divisional playoff game years ago with 13 seconds left? Y'all couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes from getting the Kansas City Chiefs in the field goal range. We've seen Josh Allen perform at an elite level in the postseason. Saturday, was not his shining moment. He still gave you 30. What's up with the defense? How come you couldn't prevent the Broncos from getting 33? That's McDermott too? I mean, come on now. Come on. Josh Allen, 4 turnovers. 5 for the Bills overall. Can't do that. By the way, the 4 teams that lost this weekend combined for 16 turnovers. The 4 teams that won combined for only 4 turnovers. 4 giveaways. So we got to remember that. Now, not only is Bean being retained, he's being elevated to president, not just GM. And on top of it all, he's leading the team search for a new coach. So he wasn't the one that hired McDermott. He came afterwards. So I guess the way they're looking at it, okay, pick your own guy. Fine. I'm just looking at McDermott and I'm saying, damn, that's jacked up. By the way, these head coaches' openings, remember, these are the 10 jobs. Titans, Giants, Falcons, Browns, Raiders, Cardinals, Ravens, Dolphins, Steelers, and now the Buffalo Bills. 2 positions have been filled. John Harbaugh for the Ravens. He's now with the New York Giants. And Kevin Stefanski, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, now with the Falcons. Here's my question about Kevin Stefanski. Two-time coach of the year. Clearly can coach. Knows what he's doing. I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, this man was in Cleveland for about 6 years, had 13 different quarterbacks. One of them was Baker Mayfield. Another was Jacoby Brissett. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, various others. Nothing could work. Nothing could work. Why should I feel excited about Kevin Stefanski being in Atlanta when you got Michael Penix Jr., who can't even line up behind center because it requires him to bend his knees too much, and his knees are kind of shot. That's why he's always in the shotgun. Or you got Kirk Cousins. What am I missing? Why is Kevin Stefanski the elite hire? I mean, Bijan Robinson is a stud, one of the best in the game, spectacular. Drake London ain't no joke. And, of course, Kyle Pitts ain't no joke either. You've got a trio of weapons right there, elite weapons, I might add. That's a good one. But you got to find a quarterback. Am I supposed to believe in Kevin Stefanski finding a quarterback? What am I missing? What am I missing? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. That's the number to call in to right here to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you live from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida, site of tonight's national championship game on ESPN between Indiana and Miami. National championship on the line. By the way, to send in your voicemail messages, SiriusXM.com/getSirius. That's SiriusXM.com/getSirius. Before I go to break, that wasn't the only game I wanted to get into. Chicago and L.A. was a spectacular game. It was not Sean McVay's finest moment, which he openly admits, because I don't know what the hell he was thinking by calling running plays to keep the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands. Instead of letting your eminent league MVP, Mr. 4,707 yards passing, Mr. 46 touchdowns with just 8 interceptions, Matthew Stafford throw the damn football. I don't understand it. Almost gave the game to Chicago. I don't understand for the life of me how Caleb Williams, on a 4th and 4, scrambles from the 14-yard line back to the 40th, running away from Verse and other defenders for the Los Angeles Rams and flinging a football into the left end of the end zone, into the hands of a wide-open Cole Kmet. Now, I know it was a fantastic play by Caleb Williams, one of the best ever, no doubt. And this is a week after he was scrambling to his left and threw that dime off balance to DJ Moore. I mean, Caleb Williams is special, even though his numbers don't say that from yesterday because he made some mistakes, no doubt. But boy, does he have a future in his hands. Chicago will win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. You hear me, Gareth? Chicago going to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. I'm telling y'all this. They're going to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. With Ben Johnson coaching, with Caleb Williams looking the way that he's looking and ascending, oh, my God. It's going to be special. But when you look at yesterday, how come nobody asked the question, how the hell did Kmet get that open? I don't give a damn that him, and I think it was Durant, whomever, was going against one another and shoving each other, stuff like that. You ain't shoving each other at that point where you got that kind of space available to you. If you Kmet with the game on the line like that and you let that touchdown catch happen, what an awful, I couldn't believe how open Kmet was. Having said that, L.A. still held on. Courtesy of another Caleb Williams interception. Him and DJ Moore weren't on the same page. Curl for L.A. intercepts the ball. Los Angeles drives downfield. They put themselves in field goal range. They kick the field goal to win the game. And they're going on to the AFC Championship game between Seattle and L.A., which, honestly speaking, if we're being honest, that's the matchup we should all want. We should have all wanted to see. And I'm here to tell y'all right now, no disrespect to the New England Patriots or the Denver Broncos, but this NFC Championship game is our Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl. The winner of this game is winning the Super Bowl, in my humble opinion. The winner of this game between the Los Angeles Rams visiting the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game next Sunday night, the winner is winning the Super Bowl. because Seattle's defense is just something special. And the way they annihilated San Francisco, I mean, my Lord. San Francisco having injuries, no George Kittle either. I mean, they didn't have much of a chance. And we knew that. But the Los Angeles Rams, seemingly healthy enough, ready to roll. Seattle going at it as well. Look, this is what you play for. And the last time we saw them, Seattle won 38-37. They only gave up that many points twice this year. Tampa and L.A. And let me tell you something. When you look at the Los Angeles Rams, 37 points over 580 yards, that's what they did in the last game just weeks ago in Seattle. They're familiar with one another. There ain't going to be any surprises. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more in a minute. Plus, I'll be getting into what may have been the most awful performance I've ever seen by a quarterback in a postseason game. Stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.
Think you have what it takes to debate Stephen A.? Call the show at 888-MAD-DOG-6. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
28 minutes past hour number one, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell y'all something. I just did a read for the Netflix movie, The Rip, right? Let me tell y'all something. I watched that bad boy this weekend. That was a damn good movie. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, I mean, usually stuff with them is going to be good. That was a damn good movie, okay? It ain't just a read I'm doing it. I'm telling y'all, go see the movie. Get on Netflix, call up the damn movie. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon did their thing. It was a very good movie. I really, really enjoyed it. Matter of fact, I enjoyed it so much, I'm going to go back and watch it later. Maybe not tonight because of the national championship game. But after that, I'm going to watch it this week again. I'm going to make sure I watch it next weekend again. I'm telling you, it was that good. Y'all got to go check it out. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Some breaking news coming in. Seattle Seahawks running back Zach Charbonnet, he's out for the remainder of the playoffs with a torn ACL, per reports. Not good. I mean, especially going up against the Los Angeles Rams. This is not a loss that you was hoping that the Seattle Seahawks would suffer, make no mistake about it. But we all know this really, really comes down to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, his kryptonite is the Los Angeles Rams. 6 turnovers in 2 games. His kryptonite is the Los Angeles Rams. The brother's like 28-4 against the rest of the league over the last 2 years. He's 1-3 against the Rams. 1-3. I mean, that's his kryptonite. They should have lost the last game. But I'm here to tell you something right now. Sam Darnold's going to be the key. He's going to be the one that decides whether or not Seattle's going to the Super Bowl or they going home. Because he's going up against Matthew Stafford. He's going to have to answer the call. Because Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, who's got some making up to do, Sean McVay, that is. Because you got to figure out a way to play better. You got to figure out a way to coach better than that. Sean McVay is an outstanding coach. But even he admitted that was not his finest performance. He knows he could do better. He knows he should have done better. Don't believe me? Listen to Sean McVay. Okay? Listen to Sean McVay, head coach for the Los Angeles Rams, talking about what happened with him. A matter of fact, before I get to that, let me just throw out a couple of other things before I get to Sean McVay. Look, the Los Angeles Rams, to me, first half of the season, second half of the season, two different Los Angeles Rams teams. You can run the football on them. You can move the ball effectively on them in the second half of the season. First half of the season, you just seem like you could do that against them because they could get to the quarterback. But that's not the case right now. Even though they still pressured Caleb Williams some in a whole bit, and they had some key big stoppages, for Chicago, bottom line is that if that Rams team shows up to play against Seattle, they're losing. They need to be the Rams team that lost 38-37, but plays a little bit better defensively. You got to be able to put points on the board, and Seattle's defense is tops in the game. They are spectacular. They are spectacular. But so is Houston's defense. And it's a damn shame that what we saw is what we saw. Because, look, I like CJ Stroud a lot. He's an incredibly nice kid, bright future, came on the scene as a rookie, put all of us on notice about what he was going to bring to the table. I don't know what the hell has happened to him over the last 2 years. And these playoffs, I really don't know what's happened. CJ Stroud has committed 7 turnovers in 2 games as the star quarterback for the Houston Texans. 5 interceptions, 5 fumbles, 2 were lost in a single postseason and only spanned 2 games. That's what we're looking at. Stat line against the Patriots, 20 of 47. That's 43%. Just a TD pass. Career high 4 interceptions, all in the first half, 3 sacks. A career worst 28 passer rating. Thrown in the tight windows. On a career high 30% of his attempts. Completing just 2 of those passes for 14. Two out of those 14 passes. Don't know what the hell was wrong with him. And listen, he'll tell you how bad he was. And nobody would disagree with him because we definitely expected better. He didn't give us better. Listen to CJ Stroud, quarterback for the Houston Texans, talk about his performance and what happened yesterday in New England.
I'm a pretty self-confident person. I think, when they started to pile up, I tried my best to, stay, locked in the spirit and, realizing I just got to be there for my teammates. And they encouraged me a lot through it. So, I'm really appreciative of this team and, them doing that because they didn't have to. Now I look back and I just feel like I let people down and, not happy with that. And, it hurts. And I'm not, naive to it. I didn't play my best this year. But I'm going to, respond. I'm going to, keep my chest up, my chin up high, and I'm going to just keep battling for it.
Here's the reality. CJ Stroud. I mean, he was the victim of several drops. Let's get that out the way. Dalton Schultz did leave early with a calf injury. That didn't make things better because he started out the game without Nico Collins, who was out with a concussion. So your primary weapon at wide receiver wasn't available. Dalton Schultz, your tight end, was gone early because of a calf injury. And the receivers that you did have dropped the ball on several occasions, including one that resulted in an interception. With all of that being said, anybody who watches football or knows a speck about football know that C.J. Stroud played horrible. And Damian Woody on ESPN's Get Up this morning said it best when he said he looked beaten. He looked devoid of confidence. He looked like he didn't believe in himself. He just looked like he had no confidence whatsoever. You cannot look like that as a quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. You got to believe. If you out there looking depressed, looking like a lost puppy, how are you going to get anybody else to believe in you? I don't believe for 1 second that the Houston Texans should give up on CJ Stroud. I believe in him. I certainly believe in his character. He's a really good dude. He's a young quarterback, got a bright future ahead of him. But he got to get this together. He got to get his confidence up. He looked defeated in the first quarter. He looked defeated. Don't get me started how he looked at halftime. And you got coach, D'Amico Ryans talking about he looked better in the second half. Well, that's because he couldn't look worse. So it was really, really hard to watch. And as a result, the New England Patriots are going to the AFC title game because the Houston Texans, an all-world defense, a defense that could rival anyone for ages, one of the all-time great defenses, got no help offensively. Zero. And we just got to keep it a buck and be real about that. This is a defense that is Super Bowl worthy, but they didn't have an offense that was. Well, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and those boys, I mean, it's special to watch. It's a damn shame that they couldn't get it done. Houston, this postseason, this season period, 12-0 when scoring 20 or more points, 1-6 when scoring fewer than 20 points. Defense, ranked number 1 in total defense, number 2 in scoring defense, and you end up losing. It's a damn shame. So they got to get it together. And you got to understand something about CJ. He's under his rookie deal. So do you re-up him and give him an extension? Do you work diligently to try to get him at a cheaper price? Or do you look to move him because he may feel he deserves more money than you're offering, and it may be in your best interest to move on? I don't know the answer to these questions. I just know it's worthy of a discussion. And then they're going against Denver, who I really feel sorry for because Bo Nix, your starting quarterback, broke his ankle. So he's getting operated on, and he's not going to be available for the rest of the playoffs, and you're going to the AFC Championship game with Jarrett Stidham, who was once drafted and played for the New England Patriots. Anybody want to see Jarrett Stidham in the playoffs? You want to see Drake May, especially now. Either him or Bo Nix would have been fine, but now it's definitely Drake May that you want to see, all right, going up against Seattle's defense or Los Angeles offense. That's what you want to see. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see a rematch of Denver-Seattle where they mugged Peyton Manning and those boys and blew them out of the state in the Super Bowl. You don't want to see that. Which Seattle is fully capable of doing if you go up against Denver again with Jarrett Stidham. That's what you want. You don't want to see that. You want to see Seattle or L.A. versus Drake May in New England. You want to see Drake May try to be. Could you imagine if Drake May brings a Super Bowl to the New England Patriots? Could you imagine that? All these years you're raving about Tom Brady. Could you imagine if this brother brings a Super Bowl title to New England in just, what is this, his second year? His second year. I mean, that would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Don't know if it's going to happen, but it would be amazing, no doubt. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ali in Vegas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Ali? How are you?
Stephen A., thank you for taking my call, bro. Yeah, you know what? I do not want my starting quarterback crying. Now, I know that it's happened in the past. For instance, Caleb Williams, he did it in college, but he was a kid, okay? Listen, Josh Allen needs to watch that post-game interview of Caleb Williams last night. That's how I want my quarterback to act. Come out there, man up, take responsibility. Yes, sir.
Tell me, Ali. You can't say man up because he clearly manned up. You can't say that. He's owning what happened to him. He's taking the blame. Number two, Caleb Williams is in his second year. Josh Allen has been around for 8 years and has suffered some tremendous, tremendous losses. Number three, it's different when you lose and when you firmly believe it's your fault. And I think that's what you saw. It's like to have to go to the offseason knowing it's on you because you could have won the game, knowing how great you are and how great you've been and how your name is mentioned with the all-time greats and how you believe you blew the game, that's different than losing. That's having to live with your mistakes. And I personally don't have any problem with him crying in the aftermath of the game because, listen, I've been covering sports for 30 years. Listen, I saw Magic Johnson blow a championship against Boston. Remember when he had those turnovers in those game sevens?
Tragic
against
Magic.
Boston in the 80s, and he was in the shower, and he was crying, and came out and just had his head down and was fighting back tears because he knew he had blown an NBA championship. It happens to the great ones, bro. It does.
Stephen, I give you that. However, let me say this. Josh Allen, to me, is measured by a different stick. In other words, just imagine if Lamar Jackson had that game he had yesterday and came out crying, they would not have been blaming it on the coach. Like I heard one guy say that the coach should not have called that offensive series he called before halftime, blaming the coach instead of Josh Allen for going down there throwing that ball back behind his back.
But you're talking about something different now. You're talking about who other people would have blamed. We're talking about a guy that blames himself. We're talking about a guy that knows it's on him. And part of me, honestly, I love the fact that he cares that much. I love the fact that it matters that much to him. Look, man, I'm from a different age. I'm from a different cloth. I remember years ago when Michael Irvin was on the sidelines crying because the Dallas Cowboys had regressed to irrelevancy. And he was on the sideline crying. And part of the reason he was crying was because he cared and he knew he was surrounded by a bunch of dudes who didn't. And it was killing him. Look, man, when you make these kind of sacrifices that these professional athletes make in order to win, I saw Kobe crying. They had won back-to-back titles. And then the Spurs came into L.A. and annihilated them and took them out. And Kobe was on the bench crying. It matters. The great ones, it matters like that. Michael Jordan had to fight back tears in front of the camera until he got on a bus with his daddy, and he was crying when they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals because before they went to the finals, he was like, how many times are we going to suffer through this? When Scottie Pippen had the damn migraine, remember that? And Michael Jordan was like, how many times? And people had to stay away from him because he was crying because he was so upset because he was so hurt. How about Isaiah Thomas losing in the NBA Finals when he lost because he had messed up his ankle so badly in Game 6 but still dropped 25 and a quarter? And then in the Game 7, he couldn't go. And he knew that because he couldn't go, because his ankle was so jacked up, they had missed a chance to win their crown. And he was crying. I don't fault dudes like that. I applaud them. I want to know, with all of this money, all of this fame, all of this notoriety, all of this acclaim, that you care that damn much. It should never be us caring more than you. You the one making the sacrifices. You the one out there performing. You the one with that burden on your back. And when you go out there and you don't get it done and it kills you and it gnaws away at you to the point where it reduces you to tears, I don't view it as a weakness. I respect it. Because it shows me you care every bit as much as I hoped you cared. And I applaud it. That's me, bro. That's me. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. More of the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM live from Hard Rock Stadium. Site of tonight's national championship game. Scheduled to air on ESPN in a minute. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show. Don't go away.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
In college football, we're previewing tonight's national championship matchup between Miami and Indiana. And in the NFL, the conference championship matchups are set between the Patriots and Broncos and the Rams and the Seahawks. We're talking football right now on NFL Radio Channel 88 and Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel 82. College Sports Radio has college football covered on Channel 84. And Fantasy Football Talk is on Fantasy Sports Radio Channel 87. Or listen on the SiriusXM app. 48 minutes past hour number one, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Series 6 and Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Series 6 and Mad Dog Sports Radio. The doggy himself, Mad Dog Russo, comes on at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Missed a couple of days last week, or at least a day or so. You know, got torn up by the hiccups, or whatever the hell it was. You know, he was struggling right now, my man Doggy. You know, the problem with Doggy is that, you know, Doggy, you know, he's a good-looking guy. You know what I'm saying? In his mid-60s, but he tries to walk around like he's in his 40s. No, Doggy, it's over. It's over, bro. I mean, you got to get over it, man. You got to get it done. Mad Dog Russo, just because you can scream and you can yell, even better than me, okay? Just because you can do all of that don't mean you ain't old, my brother. Don't mean you ain't old. You understand what I'm saying? The belly's protruding a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Eating the wrong foods. You know what I'm saying? This is what happens when you attack your own mama and your lovely wife constantly getting on, whether it's food or the holidays and stuff like that. Doggy, this is what you get your comeuppance. Maybe if you were a bit nicer, you wouldn't have these problems. Got to be a good man, a kind man, a gentle soul, like your boy Stephen A. Everybody knows I'm lying about that, at least to some degree. On the air, that is. Off the air, I really am a nice guy. Just don't tell anybody. 888-MAD-DOG-6, that's 888-623-3646. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Stephen. Beautiful name. You're live with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. What's up, Stephen? How are you?
Something very funny. Michael Irvin put out a statement. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't email me. I have no tickets. Everyone's asking him for tickets. I thought that was very funny.
Well, I thought that was very funny. What I don't appreciate about Michael Irvin, I'm going to kick his ass when I see him because I'm his boy, and I ain't calling for no damn tickets. You understand what I'm saying? I was calling him to say what's up, and he ignored his boy. So that's a problem. You see, other people harass him, and then everybody suffers. But Michael Irvin's going to be looking for my phone number. I'm going to make sure he can't find me either. But go ahead.
Anyway, let's see what happens in the game tonight. Hopefully it's a close game.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call, Stephen. Thank you so much. Daniel in Virginia, you're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Hey, Stephen A., how you doing today?
Speak up, my brother, so everybody can hear you. You're on live radio. What's up?
How you doing today, Stephen A.?
I'm all right.
I was just calling about the Bills firing McDermott. I agree with you. What the hell are they thinking here?
I don't agree with this decision.
This roster, Khalil Shakir is his best wide receiver. You want Josh Allen throwing the ball to who? What's going on here?
Listen, I disagree with his decision. I don't like it at all. You understand? Listen, and a couple of things. Number one, two vacancies have been filled, Giants and the Falcons. Eight openings still remain, so McDermott could probably get another job. So let's get that out the way. But when you look at these firings, the NFL will turn over nearly one-third of its head coaches, 10 of the 32 teams, this offseason. And according to Pro Football Talk this morning, a current NFL head coach sent an unsolicited text to Pro Football Talk this morning saying, quote, "At this very moment, this is the worst collective of 32 owners in league history." Let me come to the defense of the owners for a second here. A head coach would say that. Because a head coach wants an inordinate amount of time to build something. Well, damn it, it don't work that way. Do you give the players an inordinate amount of time to develop? You get rid of them quicker than they can say their damn names. Why shouldn't the same apply to you, at least to some degree? Let's get that out the way right now. NFL is a business. Like in Baltimore, in my personal opinion, you had to get rid of Harbaugh. You had Lamar Jackson for 7.5 years. And even with Lamar Jackson as your head coach, and even despite your inability to get to a Super Bowl, do you know it got to a point where there were empty seats in Baltimore? In Baltimore. Let's put that in its proper perspective. The Orioles don't play until April. There is no NBA team there. You can't have a football team with Lamar Jackson as your star with empty seats in the stadium. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. Now, we can look at the NFL all we want to, and we can say they print money, but that don't mean these owners aren't looking for different opportunities to make money. You got a right to do that. I'm sick and tired of people in the United States of America acting like they get to forget this is a capitalistic society. I'm trying to make money. I don't give a damn if you're an owner of an NFL team or the owner of a YouTube channel. You're trying to make money. And if something is costing you, you're going to make changes. I'm so sick and tired of people forgetting this is America. Over in Europe, do you see how these people act with soccer? You see coaches and players running for their lives when they don't win? Their lives are on the line. They can't even go out in public. Now, you got cats. I'm down here in Miami. Listen, the Miami Dolphins, let's talk about them for one quick second because we know they're irrelevant because we're down here talking about the national championship and Miami's college football team is relevant more so than their NFL team. We know that. But I'm using this example to make a point. Do you know when I knew the Miami Dolphins were trash? When they couldn't win in 40-degree weather or worse. How are you a National Football League team and you can't win when the temperature is 40 degrees or less? Do you know all you had to do when you were playing the Miami Dolphins, if it was a road game, all you had to do was look for the local meteorologist. What's the weather going to be? And by the way, it don't even have to be local. All you had to do was find out whether the weather was going to be, what the weather was going to be. And if it was ever 40 degrees or less, Miami was good for a loss. That's why I don't think Mike McDaniel deserves a head coaching job this year. You can't get your team to win in inclement weather in the National Football League? What the hell are you doing? So I say all of that to say, when we're talking about this stuff, we got to put stuff in its proper perspective. You got to be able to win. You got to be able to produce. You got to stop acting like everything is supposed to be ideal. You're trying to win, and you're trying to get paid. I brought up Colin Kaepernick months ago. I'll repeat what I said again. Years ago, and I'm looking at my producers and my social media people. I'm telling you this. I'm giving you facts. Years ago, each NFL owner got a check for $246.5 million. All 32 owners, $246.5 million apiece. Do you know they were complaining that it wasn't $250? Who complains about $3.5 million when you just got a check for $246 that you don't have to share with the players? NFL owners do. That's what they blame Colin Kaepernick for. That's why I told y'all he wouldn't be back. Because they said, wait a minute, that's $3.5 million. You times that times 32, that's over $110 million. That's over $110 million. About $110 million. They were thinking about the $110 million they lost instead of the two, three billion that they gained. That's who they are. Who don't know how these owners can be? Wake up. It's about the dollars and the cents. If you're not making money or if you're compromising money in any way, even in a business that prints money, they still count what they got to lose instead of what they've gained. That is the American way, especially in the NFL. That's why you're seeing these coaches changing, because they ain't making the money, the owners, the money they supposed to be making. Very simple. Very simple. Jason in Dallas, you're live with Stephen A. Real quick, Jason, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Steve. Hey, my quick question is, do you think that the NFL should get new minds as far as coaching instead of always recycling the same coaches?
I apologize. New minds repeat, I apologize. Hold on, Jason. I apologize. Repeat the question.
I was saying, do you think that teams should bring in new coaches as far as with new minds instead of recycling the same coaches? Not that I.
It depends. It depends on the program. It depends on the program. I would tell you this. When you look at the job McDonald is doing in Seattle, when you look at the job Liam Cohen did in Jacksonville, you're damn right you're bringing some new blood. But when you look at the job Vrabel did in New England, what Sean Payton has done in Denver, then all of a sudden you go the old route. It all depends. It's a matter of what your taste is and what you, what level of structure you think needs to be brought to the table. So there's no definitive answer, because every team has different needs. But I always think there should always be room for fresh blood. The same old retreads don't work, especially when they've never won anything. But sometimes you need them. You need that old school mentality. Because as a society, let's call it what it is. We've gotten a bit soft. We've gotten a bit soft. We have. It's true. Even in the NFL. Hour number two up next. Don't go away.
Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Also, the show re-airs from 6 to 8 p.m. every weeknight following Mad Dog Russo Show. It re-airs at that particular moment in time, 6 to 8 p.m. So we lead into Mad Dog, and then we come out of Mad Dog with the re-air that's taped and re-aired, of course, from 6 to 8 p.m. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. We are here at Hard Rock Stadium, site of tonight's national championship game between Indiana and Miami. I started off the show saying this. I'm going to say this again. Cignetti and Indiana looks formidable, too formidable to anybody to overcome. Now, when you look at Miami, clearly, it's one of those situations where you're going to have to look at the Miami Hurricanes and say to yourself, they're going to have to bring their A game. What you need to know is that their player, their best player is arguably Malachi Toney. Their standout, you know, running back, wide out. He's all purpose as far as I'm concerned. Hybrid. He just brings it all to the table. Here's the issue. He's 18. Going on 19, if I remember correctly. When you look at Indiana, however, their average age is 23. And the developmental process that Miami is having to endure, Indiana doesn't have to go through because they have the most experienced squad, arguably, in the nation. They got a whole bunch of dudes been around a long time, played a lot of college football. And because of that, that puts them at a distinct advantage, which explains why they mauled Alabama 38-3 in Pasadena, and then they turned around and just destroyed Dan Lanning's Oregon Ducks, 56-22. It was no contest at all. Was never a game. It was a pick six, 11 seconds into the contest. Oregon was so bad, Dante Moore said, I'm going to be the number two overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft, and I think I'm going to stay in school. That's how bad the ass kick it was. Made him rethink his future as well he should have. This is what's going on. And so now you're in one of those situations where you got to look at it and you got to say, does Miami have what it takes to beat Indiana? Yes, they do. They have the talent, no doubt about it. Cristobal can coach. He comes from the Nick Saban tree just like Kurt Cignetti does. But in the end, you look at some of Miami mistakes, the 10 penalties for 74 yards. Can't do that against Indiana. It's a recipe for disaster. Can't do that against Indiana. We got to get that out the way. We got to be honest about it. And we got to say what it is. Can't do that against Indiana. 888-MADDROG6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. To remind you of some other news, Seahawks running back Zach Charbonnet, he's out for the remainder of the playoffs with a torn ACL, per reports. So obviously that's a blow for the Seattle Seahawks. But we all know their success rides on two things. Their stout defense, which is number one in the game, and that of Sam Darnold, their quarterback, who's 28-4 against everybody else in the last 2 years except the Los Angeles Rams, who he's 1-3 against. And it's had six interceptions against in the last two games he's played against them. So this is what the situation is. The Rams are Sam Darnold's kryptonite. Are they going to be his kryptonite this weekend? It remains to be seen. And then, of course, there's a situation involving the Buffalo Bills firing their coach, Sean McDermott, which I believe was the wrong decision. Again, I'm not saying that Brandon Bean deserves to be fired, but why the hell is he being elevated after letting the head coach go when he's the one that assembled the roster the coach had to work with? And he's the one that failed to get a guy like Jaylen Waddle to come to Buffalo, because you wasn't willing to give the Dolphins the compensation it needed and it required in order to put your star quarterback, Josh Allen, in a better position to win. That's on Brandon Bean. So he gets, not only does he fire McDermott and keeps his job as the GM, but he gets elevated. How the hell that happened? Now, to be fair, Bean is the guy, once he first got the job, who moved up in the draft and got Josh Allen at number 7 overall years ago. So we got to remember that. But when you look at a guy like Sean McDermott that's won 73% of his games, the most in the NFL over the last 6 years, who's going to two AFC championship games, lost both games to Patrick Mahomes, been in the playoffs every single year over the last 7 years, won 5 AFC titles. When you look at that, you have people wondering whether or not Mike Tomlin should keep his job or whatever. Respectfully, hadn't won a game, playoff game, since 2016. And I love me some Mike Tomlin. How the hell am I going to sit up there and defend Mike Tomlin, potentially staying on board, even though I understand Steeler Nation wanting to go in a different direction, but we don't stand up and defend Sean McDermott? What's up, Bills Mafia? What's up with that? I guess it falls right in line with how you want to be, right? So you whacked your coach. That's what you want me to say? You proud of that? Because I don't think Sean McDermott deserved to lose his job. I'm not standing alone. Daquan Jones, Shaq Lawson, Taron Johnson, all posted their messages of support on social media for Sean McDermott, but especially Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips spoke out more than anybody. Jordan Phillips, quote, excuse my language, this shit here is so stupid, honestly, sickening. The best coach I've ever been around. That's what he said upon learning about the firing of McDermott. Here's what I said on my day job first take this morning on ESPN. I brought up the name Josh Allen for this reason. Josh Allen is a superstar for this team. I cannot imagine being, even though he's not the one that hired McDermott, he came after. I can't imagine him making this decision without the support of Josh Allen. Now, somebody like my boy Cam Newton will tell you Josh Allen hasn't achieved enough to require his support in order to make a move like this. I disagree. I think that Josh Allen is an absolute stud. I think he might be the best in the game. I know it wasn't the greatest performance Saturday, but he still had you tied at 30 at the end of regulation going into overtime. Bills could have easily won this game. I'm just of the mindset. I mean, this brother put up, I mean, Denver's a top five defense. Denver led the league in sacks, had 68 sacks for the season, four shy of the all-time record by the Chicago Bears of 1984. You got a defensive player of the year in Patrick Surtain that shuts off half the damn field. And Josh Allen still with Keon Coleman, with Khalil Shakur, with Knox and Dalton Kincaid. With them, the man found a way to put up 30. I don't get it. I don't understand. That's me. That's where I'm coming from with it. And I think Brandon Bean's got some explaining to do personally, but maybe he doesn't because Bills Mafia is so starving for something, and they should be when you lose four straight Super Bowls and that's been on your resume all of these decades. It's kind of hard to shred all that. I get it. I understand it. But Sean McDermott being gone, I don't understand that. I just don't. That's just me. It really, really is. But maybe somebody else has got a better explanation than me. How about Sean in Massachusetts? You're live with Stephen A. Maybe you got a better explanation, Sean. What's going on?
First of all, I'm in a very, very good mood today. I'll start with the Buffalo Bills. I think looking at this game, I agree with you. Sean McDermott doesn't deserve to lose his job, but I get it because you have Josh Allen as the quarterback, and you couldn't get Pat, you couldn't get to the Super Bowl even without Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson in your way. They're out of the picture, and you still couldn't get it done.
Yeah. But the roster was different. You know, if you still had Stephon Diggs, I'm with you. If you had gotten Jalen Waddle, I'm with you. But you see the receivers I mentioned. Come on, man. Come on. You know, how much did you give him to work with? And listen, if you're the Buffalo Bills ownership and you make a decision to get rid of him and Bean, or you make the decision to keep both, I get that too. But to let go of the head coach but promote the GM who didn't give him the pieces that he needed in order to be in a pristine position, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that.
I get it. I get that. And I think Bean should have went with him. If you're gonna get rid of McDermott, you got to get rid of Bean too. Because I'm looking at Brandon Bean, and I'm like, you couldn't add more for Josh Allen. And
yeah,
even though Josh Allen, he didn't have the greatest performance on Saturday, and he's gonna get a
he
little.
Still put him in position to win. He still put him in a position to win. No doubt about it.
And my second point, and it's on the Patriots. Did you see how they looked defensively against Houston?
They looked good, but that's not. Tell me, Sean. Let's keep it a buck. It ain't that hard to look relatively good defensively against the Houston Texans offense. Can we at least acknowledge that? It's not like they went up against the Rams. It's not like they went up against a healthy Baltimore Ravens. You know, or somebody like that. They went up against a Houston Texans team that's been struggling miserable offensively for most of this season. You and I both know that.
Oh, of course. And I think, like I said before, they're going to be one of the reasons why they're going to be a tough out in this AFC. And if I'm back to the Buffalo Bills, I'm looking at the Patriots. And I'm like, Kansas City's the least of my problems. New England, you now have to catch, because they could go to the Super Bowl this year, and you had supremacy in the AFC East all those years and have nothing to show for it.
I got you. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Here's the deal. New England should go to the Super Bowl. Could you imagine you're this close to the Super Bowl and what derails you is Jarrett Stidham? Jarrett Stidham. Could you imagine if Drake May and Stephon Diggs and the crew, and you can't go to a Super Bowl because Jarrett Stidham stopped you? Oh, my Lord. I mean, that would be a very, very bad loss for the New England Patriots. I tell you right now, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. Vrabel, his second year, I think it was his second year in Tennessee when he took them to the AFC Championship game. And this is the second go-round at that. He's got a chance here. You can't let Jarrett Stidham stop you. I don't give a damn if the game is in Denver. I could care less. Bo Nix is out. And, you know, Nick Foles can send all the supportive tweets he wants to, because as a backup, he delivered a championship for the Philadelphia Eagles. I got it, but I don't care. You cannot lose. If you're the New England Patriots, there is no reason why you shouldn't be in Super Bowl 60. I'm telling you that right now. You'll never forgive yourself as a New England Patriot if Jarrett Stidham prevented you from going to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you that right now. Boston will be sick to its stomach. I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know. Bobby in Houston, you're live with Stephen A. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, good afternoon, Stephen A. I got a quick question for you, something that's been on my mind for quite some time now. I want to get your thoughts and opinion on the NBA ownership situation. My question to you is, a lot of the NBA players or former NBA players who are rich or have money, how come these individuals don't get together collectively and start their own alternate NBA league so that we can start creating more billionaire
Bobby,
black-owned?
Bobby.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You're a black man, correct?
Correct.
You know how much that question you just asked pissed me off?
Why you say that?
Because you and I both know the answer to the question.
Can you stick together?
Togetherness is an issue. Coming together collectively and being mission-minded in terms of certain things is not something that we've done enough of. And we all lamented. Think about when the whole protest was going on in the NBA. You know what I kept saying? Rather than locking arms and just taking a knee, whether it's in the aftermath of the George Floyd murder or other things, why don't you pool your resources together and have your own lobbyists go up on Capitol Hill in an attempt to influence these politicians? Because the other lobbyists do it.
Exactly.
Collectively, you have your own money, and the National Football League and the NBA would have supported you. Did they do that?
No, they didn't.
Did they listen to you? Because I know you well enough to know. I've never spoken. I don't even recall speaking to you before. And I know your personality just by this call well enough to know you was probably bloviating about how they should have done that when those protests was going on. Did they do it?
Absolutely. No, they didn't, because I felt like it was bigger than just holding hands.
Exactly. So my point to you is, you know, a whole bunch, and it's not just our community, it's a lot of other folks as well. But what I'm saying is, I'm just talking about us as a people. For the purposes of that discussion, and I'm not going to belabor it because I got a national championship game to get back to, an NFL playoff game to get back to, but to answer your question directly, you've got the support of the NBA. You've got the support of the National Football League. You've got their muscle behind you along with your collective muscle as athletes. You could have pooled your resources together and made major, major, major noise. We didn't necessarily do that. Because it's always good for pomp and circumstance and just appearances. But when it's time to get your hands dirty and really dig in, you got a lot of cats that don't want to do that, which is something that I lamented. But keep in mind, me bringing that up, I'll get accused of selling out because I'm speaking facts. So I don't feel like dealing with that today, Bobby. But I appreciate the call. And you can call back anytime to discuss that. Just not today. Let's go to Bronco Bob in Texas. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Bronco Bob?
Steve, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm great. I'm good. I'm in Miami at the national championship game. And it's a little brisk. And it's a little brisk out here, but you know what it ain't? It ain't snowing in the 30s like it is in New York, so I'm good.
All right. Listen, I got a couple bones to pick with you, if you don't mind, sir.
All right, just do it quick. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. So Sean McDermott, yes, he deserves to be fired. Let me tell you why. Sometimes it's about the actual, you know, messaging. You can go to Dundee when he got fired from Tampa, and then the other guy from Raiders wins the Super Bowl. And then
John Gruden.
Yeah, so John Gruden. So sometimes it's the messaging. And I'll give you some examples. You remember that guy, well, you saw it last night, but the guy who got the 15-yard penalty because he got calls for the pass interference on the last play of the game?
Okay.
On Mims? Okay, he was definitely guilty, right? I mean, it was pass interference. He was beat by 4 or 5
yards. Yeah, it was really, really, really close. But it was pass interference because what he did was he pulled on the arm and brought the arm down before the ball arrived. So it was a legitimate pass interference call.
Right.
Usually not a call they would make throughout the game. Usually something they'd let you get away with in that moment, but it cost them, no doubt.
That was pretty wide open, man. I don't think you let anybody get – that was too wide open. I think 2 flies got thrown in that call. But anyway, so he lost his mind, threw his helmet down at the ref. And so you talk about the messaging, I believe – that Sean Payton's team players don't do that. You don't do anything that's going to cost your team yards or the game.
No. You talking about when he took off his helmet and slammed it to the turf?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me tell you why that happened. Let me tell you why that doesn't matter in this particular situation. Stay with me, Bronco Bob. I'm going to tell you why that doesn't matter. Because that play put Denver in field goal range in overtime. And that's what they were looking for. It was right there, like the 10-yard line. I forget which yard they were on. But it was right there. In other words, nothing else mattered. It was the game. That's why he could take his helmet off. If there was still time left to go, et cetera, that would have been different. That was the game. All Denver was looking for was to be in field goal range. And that secured it was going to be a chip shot. That's why he threw his helmet down like that. Because he knew that's the situation the referee put him in, even though, again, he put himself in it because it was a legitimate pass interference call. He's like, in that plan, his whole point is, it's close enough to let it go. Let him beat us. Don't you play a role in giving them the game. That's what you see a player doing in a situation like that.
And I don't mean to cut you off, man, but I know I don't have much time. The last point, do we finally, can in fact, Bo Nix finally get rid of this mystique that he just can't win? I mean, he unbeat.
I don't believe he had that mistake. I don't believe he had that mistake. Last year, he's a rookie. He took him to the division, you know, the playoffs, and they lost to the Buffalo Bills 31-7. This year, they get the number one seed, and we all know that Bo Nix can ball. So I don't think he had this mystique that he can't win. But the point is that even if he did have it, last game ain't gonna resolve that. You got an AFC championship game to host with the New England Patriots. Unfortunately, he's not going to be on the field because of the broken ankle.
Well, you know, the Broncos are what? You know, 1.5-point favorites after they won, and now they're 5.5-point underdogs.
You damn right they're going to be underdogs because y'all ain't going to no damn Super Bowl with Jarrett Stidham. It ain't happening.
Okay.
It ain't happening. I don't believe that for 1 second.
Monday, brother, that's going to take them to the Super Bowl.
I'm right here. I had Denver.
You know the first signing of the Broncos, of Sean Payton, was Jeff Stidham, his very first signing?
Hold on. In what language would you like me to say I don't give a damn? I don't care. Bronco Bob, let me tell you something right now. Jared Stidham is not taking the Broncos to the Super Bowl. I had you going to the Super Bowl if it was going up against New England with Bo Nix. Not with Jared Stidham. I don't believe the New England Patriots is presently constructed with Vrabel coaching and May leading the way, and their defense playing lights out the way that their defense is playing right now, is losing to a backup quarterback. And I say Jared Stidham, but I want Jared Stidham to understand I'm not maligning him in any way. I'm just emphasizing and punctuating his name because he's the backup. I would say that about any backup. A backup quarterback is not beating this New England Patriots team in an AFC championship game with a Super Bowl berth on the line. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think the New England Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl. Say what?
I said, tell that to Tom Brady when it went up against Nick Foles. It happens.
Sure. It does happen. Bronco Bob, it does happen. I'm telling you right now, it won't be this weekend. Broncos going home. I don't believe for one second a backup quarterback is beating this New England Patriots team. I don't believe it. I just don't. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. More of your phone calls in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more of your calls in a minute.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Number 2, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Before I get back to the phone calls, let me just give you some stats. Everybody, since Bronco Bob wants to call up here bragging about Denver's defense, acting like it's destiny that they're going to the damn Super Bowl. The Bills' offense, my producer, Griff, that's Khalil Shakur, right? That's Keon Coleman, right? Knox and Kincaid? Cook, of course. We can't forget Cook, right? This Bills offense that's good but not great. First opponent with at least 30 points and 400 yards of offense against the Broncos, number 2 ranked defense this season. 10 for 15 on third downs. That was 67%. 449 yards of offense, 183 rushing. Scored 3 touchdowns in 5 red zone trips. Time of possession, Buffalo, 41 minutes. Denver, 29 minutes and 15 seconds. Bronco Bob, I know you heard that. Sleep on that, bro, before you call me back later on this week. Jared Stidham, the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos. I just can't see it. I wish him nothing. Nothing against him. I'm just saying his name to emphasize that he's the backup for the Denver Broncos. Anybody else that was the backup for the Denver Broncos, I would point the same thing out about him. Nothing against Jared Stidham. But Jared Stidham, if the New England Patriots let him prevent them from going to a Super Bowl, they won't be able to live it down in Boston. I'm telling you what I know. Stidham. Is that right? Stidham? I like to say Stidham because it's spelled Stidham. But it's Stidham. My producer reminded me of Stidham. Jared Stidham. Okay. We'll see. 888 Mad Dog 6. Let's go to Jim in Pittsburgh. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Jim? How are you, man?
I'm all right. I'm about to make some stew for dinner tonight. So
stew? Stew? Yeah. Is that what you like to eat while watching football?
No, just on a Monday, you know, I'm off today.
Yeah, you just gotta have the right food for a football game, bro. You just do. But we can talk about that at another time. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Now, I have a couple of points. First of all, Sean McDermott didn't lose that game because they lost. The referees got him fired. And I think all these referees should be fired because if you notice the Brooks catch and Jamal Adams catch were two identical plays. One should have been a catch. Actually, they were both a catch, correct? But according to the referees, one of them was an interception. So Adams' catch should have been an interception too. How is that even possible? And I think these referees.
Jim, let me ask you a question. I got a couple of personal questions for you. Okay. How old are you, sir?
How am I?
Yeah. How old are you, sir?
Oh, I'm 59.
Okay, how long have you been watching football?
Since the Immaculate Deception, around then, as a Raider.
What was your answer?
Since the Immaculate Deception, as a Raider.
Yes, Immaculate, 1972. That's the first play I ever saw, which is why I became a Steelers fan, by the way. We have that in common. My question to you is this. Tell me a time you've watched a football game and there wasn't something to complain about with the officiating. Tell me once. One time.
You got a point.
We all complain about the officials. You can't call up here and say the officials lost, the officials got Sean McDermott fired. Come on, man. You better than that, Jim. You know better.
The play. The guy's knee is down. I mean, that's one of the worst calls since.
It was a horrible call, no doubt about it. But the point is, you can't say a play got the man fired when the man won 73% of his games, which was an NFL high over the last six regular seasons. Can't do that.
They should have had that a catch, a next play, kick a field goal, and Buffalo's going to the next round, and McDermott still has his job.
Okay. But the legitimate argument could be made that Bean is like Piscotty in Baltimore. When they asked him, if Loop had made the field goal against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore would have won the AFC North crown and been in the playoffs, would that have changed your decision? And Piscotty said, yeah, for about a week.
Then how is Adams not an exception?
Say what?
Why is Adams' catch not an interception? It's the same
again,
exact
play. Again, it's some bad calls. But what I'm saying to you is that the GM clearly wanted them gone. And I don't understand for the life of me how the GM gets promoted and keeps his job and McDermott is gone. I don't get it. But I appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you so much. Let's go to Eugene in Nashville. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Eugene? How are you?
I'm all good, brother. Happy MLK to you. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy MLK, no doubt. It's birthday Friday, absolutely. Go ahead, man.
Nah, man, they Broncos ain't doing nothing. It's over with. They might as well pack it up. Pack it up.
I think so.
Pack it up.
I think so.
It's going to be New England, and it's going to be the Rams. You know what I'm saying? That's what we got.
Listen, I think the Rams can beat Seattle, but Seattle can beat them too. That defense is real.
But hey,
that
Sam
defense
Donald.
Is real. And let's call it a buck, Eugene. I think the NFC Championship game is the Super Bowl. I think whoever wins that wins the Super Bowl.
No, I agree.
That's what I believe.
Stevie Wonder could see that one.
I don't know about that because New England could beat them. New England could beat anybody.
Yeah, but you know, Matt Stafford and McVay, they on a roll and they got that chemistry. You know what I mean? Drake.
Don't say McVay. A matter of fact, because McVay could have called the better game and he didn't. Matter of fact, Sean, for my man Eugene, play this sound of Sean McVay talking about his coaching performance yesterday afternoon. Listen to this, Eugene.
I could have done a much better job. And then I did think once we were able to get some success, we settled into a little bit of a different approach, you know, being able to lean on the run. And then when we were throwing it, picking up the tempo a little bit. And I thought Matthew had a bunch of success keeping the ball in play. I did not like the feel for the flow of the game that I had outside of the first, you know, series where our guys did a great job defensively. It kept us in it in spite of how, you know, poorly, you know, poor of a job I did for our group. But like I said, you know, I'm really grateful for this group being able to find a way, stick with it, and be able to overcome some bad coaching by me tonight.
There you have it, Eugene. He can't afford to do that. He can't afford to do that against Seattle.
He ain't going to do it again.
Here's the deal, Eugene. Why are you, if you're Sean McVay, calling running plays on third down, fourth downs, you know what I'm saying, in regulation and in overtime, instead of having the ball in your imminent MVP's hands and letting him throw
it? I agree with that.
You got to let him throw it. You got to go down swinging with your guy.
For sure.
You
got
to do that.
He got it.
Okay? You just got to do that.
Hey, but he going to be ready, though. They going to be ready.
Okay. Okay.
You know they going to be ready. This is Stafford's last limb. You know what I mean? This is it for him.
I got you.
Next, you know it. He out.
No, this ain't it for him. Stafford don't look like somebody that ain't got much left. He looked like he got two or three more years left. Look at the way this man is playing. Aaron Rodgers playing at the age of 42. Stafford's 37. Look at him.
Hey,
look at the brother.
Bad playing at 42, though, man. He look like me, and you can go out there and play. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come on.
You can say that all you want to. Stafford is 37, 5 years younger. And is through for 46 touchdowns and interceptions. This is not, you know, Stafford ain't approaching no finish line by a long shot. Unless that black gives out. Appreciate the call, though, man. Thank you. Colin in Alabama, talk to me. You live with Stephen A.
Stephen A., man. I had to call, and I think the play of the game in the Patriots-Houston game, that Keyshawn Boutte catch, man, Derek Stingley
that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. And Stingley was all over him. That was great defense. That was just a spectacular catch, plain and simple.
Yes, yes. May put it where he had to. Hey, if that ball's underthrown even by a little bit, that's an interception. Because I'm telling you, man, watch it again. It's a master class on how to cover by Stingley. And, hey, it's LSU on LSU violence, Stephen A.
I got you. I appreciate the call, Colin. Thank you. Let's go to Douglas in Indy. You're live with Stephen A. What's up, Douglas? How are you?
Hey, what's happening, Stephen A, man? Happy Martin Luther King Day to you, too.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, Stephen A, same to you.
I got to – hey, man, much respect to you, man, but, you know, I'm a little heated, man. I'm going to go back to some Notre Dame stuff. I hate to be the dead horse, but –
man, you ain't got to apologize for being heated. That's what radio's all about, baby. I'm right here. Let's go.
Okay. You know, we got four horses to beat, so I'm gonna beat one of them other ones, but – hey, man, you know, with the college football playoffs and my issue, it wasn't with leaving with Miami Notre Dame. It was with Alabama, you know. And as we see, Alabama was not the choice to be in the college playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the reason why we're so hot here down here in South Bend, Indiana, is because we looked at our team limp into the playoffs last year. As you know, we had a lot of All-Americans, a lot of them on the offensive line. We had the All-American cornerback, yep. He was out, and we still made a move in the playoffs. So with this team being healthy this year, all the energy we had building up, and that's why we are so upset about being left out of the college football playoffs. You know, and you know, there's some decisions that have been made post the leaving us out, and you know, some people try to call Freeman and the boys cowards.
Hold on. Let's keep it a buck. Let's have a conversation real quick, Douglas. Alabama and how they performed against Indiana was embarrassing. They got their asses kicked. They waved the white flag. Fine. Notre Dame, nobody looked at Notre Dame and didn't believe Notre Dame was one of the best 12 teams in the nation. We knew that from a talent perspective and their record, having run off 10 straight after an 0-2 start, opening the season with a loss against Miami, losing the second game 41-40 to Texas A&M. We knew from that point forward they won 10 games, right? We knew that Notre Dame deserved to be in the playoffs. We got that part. The point is because of the way things are constructed, you got the group of five. And so whether it's a Tulane or a James Madison, of course Notre Dame deserved to be in the playoffs ahead of them. But you did it to yourself. And let me tell you why. Because you are a part of the ACC, right? And so what happens is that during COVID, when they gave you, you know, some assistance because you didn't have a conference, they gave you a conference. You did that for 1 year and then said, yeah, we the other 23 sports, we fine being associated with the ACC, but we're going to keep football to ourselves. You're saying being greedy and all of that other stuff. You didn't have a conference. Nor a conference commissioner representing you because you wanted to keep the bag for yourself with the NBC contract and all of that. Well, lo and behold, it's a debate between you and Miami, and the commissioner for the ACC speaks up on behalf of Miami, who obviously has made him look very, very good because they're playing for the national championship game tonight. Notre Dame was competing against, you say, Alabama. Alabama had beaten Georgia on the road in Athens weeks earlier before that ACC championship game in Atlanta. What was Notre Dame doing while Alabama was getting their ass kicked against Georgia because they weren't that healthy and all of that? Y'all were at home sitting on y'all couch because y'all didn't have a conference championship game because y'all didn't want to be a part of a conference. You want to be rewarded. You got a weak schedule. You didn't have big-time wins over those last 10 games. And on top of it all, you didn't have a conference championship game to participate in. You did it to yourself. Anybody feeling sorry for Notre Dame?
Hey, man, it's funny how people say we had a weak conference. I mean, a weak schedule. But you know how many years ahead of time, Stephen A., their schedules come out, man.
That's not the point. I'm not blaming them for the actual schedule. I'm just speaking the reality into existence of exactly what happened. So you want to call up here and whine about Notre Dame not being in the playoffs when Miami's in the national championship game, who, by the way, beat y'all to open the season. You knew the game was going to be important. Should have won the game. I love Marcus Freeman. He's one of my favorite coaches. But the bottom line is, you knew what was going to happen. Then let's look at this guy. Let me remind people of who Notre Dame beat. Why you on the phone, Douglas, since you calling from South Bend, which I understand and respect because I don't know how much there is to do in South Bend other than love Notre Dame. But that's neither here nor there. Let's look at this, all right? Right here before your very eyes. You listening, Doug? You listening,
I'm
Douglas?
I'm here, man.
These are your 10 victories. Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, and North Carolina State. Hold on. No, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. I'm reading the victories. Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, North Carolina State, USC was ranked 20th, Boston College, Navy, Pittsburgh, which was ranked 23rd, Syracuse, who you dropped 70 on, and Stanford. I mean, we got to just stop the presses, Douglas. We got to write home about those victories. I mean, what awesome, awesome victories that y'all were able to record. I mean, are you kidding me? You kidding me? You know, you did it to yourself. Join a damn conference. Stop ducking. Do you know, Douglas, did you hear my interview with the head coach for Ohio State, Ryan Day?
Weeks ago? Yes, I did.
Do you remember when Ryan Day said they would welcome Notre Dame to the Big Ten?
Okay, you know what? That was one of my last points. I got two more to make. First of all, let's deal with that one because you got that one on the table. Okay, look, you remember why during the history of Notre Dame, the reason why Notre Dame was not in the conference is because when they were trying to be in the conference, they were this little Catholic institution that nobody wanted in their conference. So we had to form this independence.
That's a long time ago, Douglas. I mean, how old are you, bruh? Don't bring that up. I mean, I think Jimmy Carter was president when that stuff you bringing up right now. You got to be kidding me. Don't bring that nonsense to me. And by the way, Douglas, let me ask you this question. Have you no shame? None? You're calling me up here today to whine about Notre Dame on the I'm talking about with the national championship game just hours away? Dame? Have you no shame? None?
I'm just going to say, our little brothers of Indiana going to take care of business tonight.
Oh,
we're
my God.
At least you said that.
I mean, you're in the damn state. And you talked about Notre Dame, and just as an aside, we just gonna happen to mention the number one ranked team in the nation that's playing for the national championship game tonight, yeah, that's on the verge of winning their first national championship in school's history. That's an aside. We really want to talk about Notre Dame. You should be ashamed of yourself, brother. Goodbye, Douglas. I want you to go ahead and lick your wounds, okay? Because don't try to give Indiana some love now, because we all know where your heart lies. It's with Notre Dame. That Indiana should have been your first point. Your first point. But you didn't do it because you're hoodwinked by Notre Dame. You want allure, you want the acclaim, you want all of it? Join a damn conference. The Big Ten, Ryan Day and the crew said they'd love to have you in there. Join a damn conference, okay? And stop sitting home on your ass while everybody else is participating in conference championship games. Maybe you'd have been in the postseason. It's that simple. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Miss me with that, even though I do love Marcus Freeman. I really do love that guy. He's a great coach. 888-MADDOG-6888-623-3646. Your calls to close out the show in a minute. You're listening live with Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
The College Football Playoff National Championship is here, and your home for every touchdown is SiriusXM. Tune in tonight at 7:30 Eastern as the number 10 Miami Hurricanes take on the number 1 Indiana Hoosiers to crown the 2026 national champion. Hear the Miami feed on ESPN Extra, Channel 81, the Indiana feed on College Sports Radio, Channel 84, and the national feed on ESPN Radio, Channel 80, in your car and on the SiriusXM app. Back to the phones we go. 888-MAD-DOG, 888-623-3646. Let's go to it. Let's go to Victor in Connecticut. You're live with Stephen A. What's up?
Stephen A. Smith, I really like you on the radio, man. You are fantastic. I can take you or leave you on TV, mostly because I don't always agree with you, but you're great on the radio.
That's because you're not paying enough attention. First of all, on TV, I got to share the wealth, TV real estate with people I'm debating. I can't do all the talking. On my own show, I can do all the talking. Secondly, I mean, I think that I'm not the most attractive dude in the world, but I don't think I'm difficult to look at. So I do think that.
It's not like I got a face for radio.
You know what I'm saying? Face I think I do radio. Both well. I'm just messing with you, Victor. I'm just messing with you, buddy. Go ahead, man.
Well, also, I went to the same high school as Dan Orlovsky, so I agree with his opinion.
Oh, that's a curse. That's a curse. You got something in common with Dan Orlovsky, D.O., the corniest brother I know? I mean, you got to be kidding me. But go ahead.
Look, I love the Patriots, and this is like a dream this season. They've been bad for years. But to think they're going to go in and be 5.5-point favorites in Denver. I mean, Denver's broken our heart in the AFC Championship game before, man. That's going to be a nip-and-tuck game. Both teams are going to be about running the ball.
Jared Stidham, man. Jared Stidham.
But, you know.
Look, man, I don't know, y'all.
Say his name. Listen, I hope he has a terrible game. I hope he plays like C.J. Stroud. But Sean Payton ain't going to let that happen. That's a proven Super Bowl-winning coach there, man. That's a team that was in the playoffs last year. This is all first time for Drake May. And he put a couple on the ground yesterday that, you know, if they bounced a different way, if Will Campbell and another lineman weren't diving on those fumbles, they could have been completely different situation.
Can I read a stat to everybody, all my listeners out there, including you, Victor?
Say it.
Jared Stidham has 4 career starts, 1 win, and he's only taken 1 snap this entire season. 1 snap.
It don't look good.
And by the way, hold on. Here's the last part. Here's the last part, Victor. Take a guess when's the last time he's thrown a pass.
I mean, he's throwing them every day, Steve. He works with those guys. Plus, Denver's going to have a lot of second squad receivers in the game.
Listen, Victor. The brother hasn't thrown a pass since 2023. He hasn't thrown a pass since 2023 in a game. Don't give me practice. We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. He hasn't thrown a pass since 2023. And you're the New England Patriots, and you're going to lose to that dude? Do you have any idea how embarrassing that would be? We got to remember, Carson Wentz lost got hurt in week 11 or week 12, the year that Nick Foles took them to the Super Bowl championship. This guy, Jared Stidham, has not thrown a pass since 2023. Could you imagine how embarrassing it's going to be for the New England Patriots if they go out there and lose to a cat that hasn't thrown a pass since 2023?
It would be embarrassing, but you know, the Patriots are 8-0 on the road, man, and that's not an easy thing to do. And sooner or later, altitude and crowds and all that stuff, it's going to be a field goal game, man.
Victor, I'm not interested in listening to you anymore. Goodbye. You know why? Because Victor, ladies and gentlemen, is a scared Patriots fan. He's scared to death. He's about to woof in his own pants. He's scared. That's what that's about. Because let me tell you something right now. Listen, of course Denver could win. Exceptionally well coached, weapons all around them in the running game, in the passing game, and a defense that is elite. I got it. But Jared Stidham has not thrown a pass since 2023. And you're the New England Patriots, and you lose to that dude? You have any idea how embarrassing that will be? I don't want to hear it. I don't need callers that scared of their own damn shadow. Miss me with that. Corey in Queens, you're live with Stephen A. Real quick, Corey, go ahead.
Hey, Stephen A. First time, long time.
Thank you. You only got a minute. Go ahead.
I was going to talk about how the NFC has completely outclassed the AFC in this playoffs, and that people like to hate on the stars, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, all these people. But without them, the AFC is a shell of itself. I'd also like to wish you a happy MLK Day.
Thank you so much.
I do believe this man was one of the great patriots in our nation, and for every single person in our nation. And I think we should talk about that more.
Absolutely.
Instead of focusing on the AFC, NFC, the coaching thing. I have one question for you. I think McDermott should have went. But do you think DeMeco Ryan's decision, I don't know if you talked about this already, to not put in Davis Mills was a fireable offense?
No, it was not a fireable offense. Let's not be ridiculous and talk about DeMeco Ryan's getting fired with the job that he's done in Houston as his head coach. No way in hell we should be talking about that. But I will say this. I love me some C.J. Stroud. I think he's a wonderful kid, and I do believe he'll overcome his doldrums and he'll have a bright future. He looked like he had no confidence yesterday. They got to fix that. The lack of development, as Troy Aikman alluded to in calling the game, Joe Buck was doing play-by-play. Obviously, Troy Aikman was the color, and he accurately pointed out how C.J. Stroud's lack of development is flagrant, and they got to do something about it. But I will tell you, C.J. was so bad yesterday, I did think that DeMeco Ryan should have brought David Mills into the game. I will admit that. That's how bad CJ was, with no confidence. It's just the truth. Got to get on out of here. National championship game tonight. I've got Indiana, but I'm hoping it's a thriller. I'm praying it's a thriller. I do not want to see a blowout. Indiana Hoosiers win national title. See y'all tomorrow. Till then, peace and love.